Can I ask you three questions? One, I ask myself the same questions. Question one, do I believe that when Jesus was on earth, he healed people? The gospel is absolutely full of stories of Jesus healing people. Are those true? Did he really heal all those people? Two, do I really believe that after they killed Jesus, he rose again? The Bible says that the resurrection is fundamental to everything in the whole Gospels. And three, do I believe that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, forever? We sing that regularly. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. If the answer to those questions is yes, then it has to follow that Jesus wants to give healing today in our generation. And yet, probably the majority of folk that go to church Sunday by Sunday don't actually think that's true in 2017. Let me say straight away, I believe personally in the healing ministry of the church. We'll look at the moment and see what we mean by healing. But it is fundamental to everything for which the church stands that there is a ministry of healing. I like that expression, healing ministry or ministry of healing. I don't like the expression faith healing, only because faith healing has been hijacked by charlatans who do it for money. And if you read the New Testament, it's very, very tough indeed on anybody who uses any kind of healing technique for cash. That's not on. For years, the church actually didn't think there was a healing ministry. It's really only in the last 50 or 60 years that we have rediscovered the healing ministry. Some people think it's a sort of part of the charismatic renewal and came then, but actually that's not factually accurate. It's something that came, which is much simpler and easier and wider before that. It comes from a quiet concentration on the practice and power of Christ. Let me give you a quote from a leading church, one of the leaders in our church. See you think it is, who you think it is, or whether you agree with it. I quote, "The church will fall like a pack of cards if it continues to obsess about issues such as abortion, gay marriage, or homosexuality. The church must find a new balance or risk losing the freshness and fragrance of the gospel." And that same leader was then asked, "What does the church need most today?" And here was his answer. "I see the church as a field hospital after battle. It's useless to ask a seriously injured person if he has high cholesterol or about the level of his blood sugar. No, you have to heal his wounds. After that, we can talk about everything else. First, heal the wounds. Heal the wounds." I wonder if you're guessing who that was. It was actually Pope Francis preaching in Argentina and the poor and downtrodden people there. And he went on to explain how the wounds that need healing are physical and mental and spiritual. I find it fascinating that the person who above all else pioneered the healing ministry in this country in the sort of 50s and 60s was a guy called George Bennett, who came to preach at St. Paul's once or twice some years ago. The guy who pioneered the healing ministry of the church in the United States was a guy called Francis McNutt. And the guy who healed, who pioneered the healing ministry in Europe, was a guy called Paul Tournier. Both George Bennett and Francis McNutt started training as doctors and then moved into ordination and the healing ministry. Paul Tournier was in fact a doctor all his life. He practiced as a physician. We gave one of his books to my mother-in-law for her 80th birthday, Learning to Grow Old. Very useful. But it's very interesting, her comment after she'd read this book, and I pinched it from her library when she went to heaven. She said to me, "Oh, you gave it to me when I was 80. If only I'd had that book when I was 50, I could have learned so much from it." If you're nearing 50, or you think you might get to 50 one day, or if, like me, you have already passed 50, I cannot recommend that too strongly. Learning to Grow Old. But he was a doctor. Paul Tournier, all his life, practiced medicine. The other two I've talked about who pioneered this ministry, both trained originally as doctors. The healing ministry of the church, and it's very important to get this right, does not cancel the need for good medical treatment. It is not an alternative to good medical treatment. It's both and, not either or. Christ is concerned, we've said, and all those three people argue this, with the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. And of course, Jesus made that abundantly clear a number of times when he was on earth, when he was involved in healing. Do you remember in particular the story in Mark chapter 2, where four friends bring a man who is paralyzed, who wants physical healing from his paralyzed state? And they couldn't get into the house where Jesus was, so they went up on the roof and took the roof off. I think it's great, that story. And lowered this man down into the room where Jesus was teaching. And Jesus shattered them all by saying to this paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He started there. He ended up, you need to read the whole story, of course, get up and walk, pick up your mat. Jesus was concerned with the full healing of you and me as people. The most important thing we need to be healed from is the sin that we've committed. Our forgiveness of sins comes first. I agonized over this, but I'm going to do it, whether I should be really personal. But let me say this. I changed schools at the age of 13, and I was sent off to boarding school. My elder brothers had gone to the same school because my parents were still in India, where we all grew up, and there was a very strong probability that they would be in India while I was at school. And Her Majesty's government, bless them, paid every penny of the fees. Great. I did extremely well. But a fortnight before I was due to start my new school at the age of 13 as a boarder, I had a rather nasty road accident. I was on my bicycle. I had a fight with a bus, and the bus won. I fractured my skull. I was unconscious for 72 hours, and it was all quite exciting. But that meant that when I went to my new school as a slightly timid new boy, I had no hair because they'd shaved every bit of hair on my head, and there were nasty marks where those doctors had sewn me up and done weird things. And it was horribly intimidating as a new boy to arrive in this weird state, and particularly as I had to arrive a week after everybody else. I felt really miserable and unhappy. I was incredibly fortunate, or God looked after me. Call it how you like. The chap who slept in the next bed to me was a guy called John Richards, who became one of my closest friends. Some of you may have heard John Richards speak. John knew how miserable I was, and he took steps to put it right. You know what he did? I think it's fascinating. We were both, 13, 14 year olds. He invented a nickname for me, and he started calling me by my nickname. And before long, everybody in our dormitory, and then everybody in my form, and everybody in my common room, all started using this nickname. And it revolutionized my life, because suddenly I was accepted. I wasn't the odd one out with funny hair, or no hair, and marks all over his skull. And it wasn't until years later, when we were both at university, John trained at a place called Durham, that Andrew will tell you about, and then went to Ridley in Cambridge, where Ian trained. And when we met then, he said, "Alistair, do you realise I did that quite deliberately? I deliberately made up this nickname and started using it, and it was a way of getting you accepted by everybody." Healing is far more than just physical healing. I was healed from embarrassment, from awkwardness, from a miserable time as a young schoolboy, by somebody having the care and the thought to find a technique to put things right. Later, two or three years later, something else happened, very remarkable. I discovered during that first term at school, when John's parents came to collect him, that his mother was a cripple. She was in a wheelchair. And when the family came to collect him at the end of term, Dad drove, but Mum had to get the wheelchair out, and she was wheeled around the place. But two or three years later, I think I was 16 or 17, and John was about the same, she was miraculously healed of the physical ailment that had kept her in that wheelchair. And the bit that I love about this, the doctor who treated her said, "You've been healed. It's quite inexplicable in medical terms. But because you've spent the last few years in a wheelchair, your muscles are weak. You need to do something to strengthen your muscles. You need to get some sort of exercise. What would you recommend?" I think that GP was a genius. He recommended ballroom dancing. George would approve. And John and his mother became expert. The father was not able to do it for various reasons I won't bore you with. But John and his mother took up ballroom dancing really very thoroughly. They won all sorts of gold medals and awards and all the rest of it. And when John was at theological college, he always said, "I'm the only student here who's got medals for ballroom dancing" in his room. And it was a thoroughly practical, sensible way of dealing with her need to go and get good exercise. John was ordained. He became a director of the Fountain Trust that some of you will have heard of. And he's written over 30 books on this whole topic of healing. I'm going to mention this one, the question of healing services. John believed passionately that more churches should actually get involved in the healing ministry of the church by holding regular services where they concentrated on that. I think it's shameful, this is a personal view, that the only church I know of in this area that regularly has healing services is St. Barnabas in Epsom, where they have a real ministry in that way, and they get almost no support from the other churches in the area. I quite often go to the healing services at St. Barnabas, and I recommend you to think about it. What do we really believe in our heart of hearts about healing? I challenge each one of us, as I've had to do this last week, to think that through. Do I really believe that God heals physically today? I'm going to suggest that yes, I do believe that God still heals people today. I love the commentary of Tom Bright on this. Tom Bright, as you know, was a bishop of Durham and is now a theologian who writes lots of books. He correctly translates the word that is often used for miracle. He says, actually, it's the wrong word. He translates it as works of power. That is a good, accurate translation of the original. Jesus did works of power, which demonstrated the power of God. And Simon Peter, in the passage we had read to us in part one, Paul did works of power. And he particularly asks you to think about Mark 6:5, where Jesus went to his own hometown of Nazareth. This is the translation. Jesus could not do anything remarkable, any works of power in that place, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. Just by the way, their unbelief dumbfounded him. If you believe the Bible is true, and if you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then physical healing is a part of the healing ministry of the church, and we ignore it at our peril. But secondly, Christ wants to heal the whole person, body, mind, and spirit, not just the body. Indeed, the most important healing of all is not the body. The most important healing that all of us need is forgiveness of sin. I can live with funny knees. I can live with defective hearing. I can live with aches and pains. And so can you, whatever your physical problem are, and we all have some. But without forgiveness of sin, there is no life. There is only death. Death defined as separation from God in the long term. What did Jesus promise? He promised abundant life. What does abundant life mean? Abundant life comes and can only come from a right relationship with God. It doesn't actually come from a fit body, although God wants us to have that if it's practical. The church, like our nation, has too often ignored the questions of mental health, of wholeness of mind and body. And I've said that I think churches like St. Barnabas have to plough a lonely furrow. The Pope was right. The prime objective of us as Christians in the world in which we live is to heal the wounds. Heal the wounds of our neighbours, of all those we come into contact with. And in the rest of that sermon, Francis talks strongly about getting involved with people and concentrates on speaking the truth in love and not grumbling, not criticizing, but speaking the truth in love. Isn't that so relevant for all of us? And the third point, which is worth making, the Bible also makes it clear that not all are physically healed. I know many people agonize over this and they pray with great faith. I remember when David Watson, no relation of mine, but a man of huge significance in our church life, there was a real expectation that God would heal him of his cancer. He was doing the most amazing things, and God didn't heal him. He died. And it is clear that not everyone will receive physical healing. If you think about Paul himself, 2 Corinthians 12, he talks about the thorn in the flesh, which was clearly some sort of physical problem, perhaps blindness or poor eyesight. We don't know, and it's almost deliberate that we don't know, but it was something that was wrong with his body that he prayed and prayed would be healed, and it wasn't. You certainly don't accuse Paul of lack of faith. Another example is Epaphroditus in Philippians had a near fatal illness, which it wasn't healed. Timothy, when he became a bishop, a leader of a church, suffered from what today we might call Mediterranean tummy, horribly embarrassing. And Paul gives him a few suggestions as to how he might cope with it, but it was quite clear from all that we know that Timothy wasn't actually healed of that. I believe in healing, but I have to say that nowhere in the Bible are we promised release from physical problems. The Bible does promise me salvation. That's a guarantee. Yes, says God, salvation is assured. It doesn't promise me physical healing. The salvation is what I need to be part of his family, to be heirs together of those wonderful riches of his grace. We're going to sing a song which reminds us, I believe in Jesus, the power to heal now, the grace to forgive. That's where real healing comes. The prayer in the Bible that I love most, that I use constantly in my own thinking and my own praying, is Psalm 67. Do go read it out later on if you'd like to. Psalm 67. It says simply this to begin with: may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your ways, O God, may be known on earth, your saving health among all nations. That's what healing is, saving health among all nations. Amen.